Welcome back to the zone. Pat Bradley, Justin Akre, Wally Hall, Matt Travis, and Michael Felder in the zone. How you doing, Michael Felder?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Oh,
good.
Boy, we're doing great.
Michael, the latest Final Four, or the latest four, I guess, in the by the playoff committee issues, or are you cool with what they did?
I'm okay with it. I thought that Florida State might have moved up a little bit, moved up ahead of Oregon because the Ducks had a bye. But overall, I think teams like Baylor and Ohio State are in good position. I think that the two sort of head scratches for me were Georgia jumping all the way to 10, probably Auburn still sitting at 14.
What do you make of the Baylor-TCU debate? And of course, TCU did not help itself much this weekend by narrowly defeating a horrible Kansas team. But, you know, they talked about head-to-head. That would really be my only issue. I'm fine with the four they have in there. You know, I don't really care that much about what order they're in at this point. But the TCU-Baylor thing is a little bit weird since Baylor won the head-to-head. That's my only issue with that whole deal.
Yeah, and then they lost to West Virginia, and TCU beat West Virginia. So it's one of those things where there's a lot going on there, a lot of moving pieces. And it was a close game that TCU, really a lot of people still feel like TCU should have won. So I think when I look at it, I see this, that it's going to take care of itself. TCU is in the worst position of probably every team in the top eight or nine teams. Mm-hmm. They're in the worst spot. They're a team that has no – they can't do anything. They have a bye week this week, which means they're not going to help themselves. They play a Texas team that's not going to give them a quality win. They play Iowa State, and the last week of the season, that's certainly not going to give them a quality win. We already saw them get passed by looking bad against Kansas. They already lost the spot in that argument when Alabama moved into the top four. Now they're going to lose another spot. Ohio State's going to get a win this weekend. Baylor will get a win this weekend. They have the opportunity to move from 5 to 7 after this weekend's done. And even if they don't move from 5 to 7, in the last week of the season, when they're busy beating Iowa State, Ohio State's going to be busy beating Wisconsin, and Baylor's going to be busy beating Kansas State. I think it takes care of itself because ultimately you have a tie on top of the Big 12, and then you'll have a Big 12 tiebreaker, which goes to Baylor. And even though Big 12 didn't say they're going to advocate for one or the other, the fact of the matter is Baylor's going to hold that tiebreaker. They will be the team that crowned the Big 12 champions, and conference champions get the nod in this selection for the selection game. I mean, I think Baylor's going to move ahead of them. I expect Ohio State moves ahead of them. TCU has nowhere to go but down right now.
Does Oregon have to do anything in the Pac-12 championship game? By that, I mean, do they have to beat a team with no more than a couple of losses, or do you think it matters at this point? You think they're in if they keep winning?
Yeah, I think they're in if they keep winning. I think Oregon is in maybe the best spot because with the exception of being ranked number four, Oregon is the team that's going to be playing a home game no matter what. They're going to be playing a pseudo home game in the Rose Bowl no matter what happens. If Alabama's number one, Alabama's going to the Sugar Bowl. Oregon's at number two, they're going to the Rose Bowl. Oregon's at number three, Alabama's at one, Florida State's at two. Florida State goes to the Rose Bowl, Oregon goes to the Rose Bowl to get them to play another home game. The only issue that should worry Oregon is if they move to four, and based upon the schedule that Florida State has, that's probably not going to happen.
Any concern? Oregon State, of course, already ruined Arizona State's season. Any chance they win at home against Oregon? What's that matchup like, you think?
No, Oregon State's not a good football team. I mean, you watch them play, and I don't know how they beat Arizona State. I don't know how it happened. I watched the game twice, and I'm still sitting there thinking, I don't know how this came to be, because it was just one of those things where Oregon State's just not very good, but there's something about Corvallis. And I was talking to a colleague of mine, Holly Anderson, and she mentioned, there's just something about Corvallis. They're good for one of these every now and then where a team that's probably in the top 10 comes there and it's just sleepy and you can't get up for it, and they find a way to win because they do have Sean Mannion. Mike Riley's a good coach, so they got a huge win, but I don't think that they're going to beat Oregon, especially in a game where in that state, even though nationally it's a nothing, in that state the Civil War is a big deal, and the Beavers fans are going to be hoping they pull off the upset while Oregon's going to be looking to walk the dog on them.
We were talking about the Heisman earlier. Huge weekend, obviously, for Gordon with a record-setting day rushing the ball against what we thought was a good Nebraska team. Whatever that was, I don't know what the deal was there. But who's your number one? Is he still chasing Mariota, or you have him moving into the top spot now?
Yeah, Marcus Mariota is the number one guy for me. It's his award to lose. I think this is the guy that put up big numbers. And it's not all fair, because I think much like we saw with Andrew Luck and Colt McCoy, there was sort of a legacy, a career award that people are trying to give to him for being so good for a couple seasons. And I don't think that that's fair to Melvin Gordon, who's having a tremendous year. But I do think that this is his award to lose in this season. So I think that he's putting together a very, very good 2014, in addition to the things that he did before that made everybody think he would win it as this, think he would win it as a redshirt freshman, think he would win it as a redshirt sophomore. So I think that this is a guy that's putting up a lot of big numbers, doing a lot of things the right way in terms of not throwing interceptions, making big plays, and more importantly, he has Oregon peaking in November, when usually this is a team that we see peak in September and October and then struggle to survive in November.
A long-suffering fan base was thrilled last weekend to watch Arkansas dominate a team that has been somewhat of a rival. They play it's a trophy game. They have moved it off the end of the season, but it was great to knock off LSU, especially in convincing fashion like Arkansas did the other night. They need to win one more to make it to a postseason game, and, of course, that is Ole Miss at home and then on the road at Missouri to end the season. What are your feelings on Arkansas with what they have left?
I'm very curious to watch this weekend's game. Obviously, I love that Arkansas wants to play physical football, and every game they know going out there that they're going to get beat up, but they want to beat the other guy up just a little bit more. And even though I felt like they beat the other guy up more, they haven't been able to show it on the scoreboard until this past weekend with regard to SEC play. So I think that's a big plus for them. I think they carry that confidence with them, knowing that, hey, we played with, and basically you look at their schedule, we played with Alabama, we played with A&M, we played with, we played with Mississippi State, we played with and finally got a win against LSU. So I think for them, this is a confidence builder. I think they go out, I think they get a win against Ole Miss, and I think that's going to be a huge win for that program in terms of momentum, in terms of how folks look at Brett Bielema, in terms of, I don't know that it's going to be we'll see a massive windfall on the recruiting trail, but I do think it's going to be one of those things where there is so many positive vibes around the program and inside those walls that people really get excited about, and I think that does translate a little bit to recruiting. So I think that they can get a win against an Ole Miss team that right now they're beat up, and even though they've had 2 weeks off basically between Presbyterian and a bye, I think they are a little bit beat up. They don't have the depth that LSU, the depth that Alabama has in terms of from first unit to second unit to third unit. They don't have that depth for next man up, and I think that's going to show its face against an Arkansas team that's going to try to beat them up.
I like it. You just swayed me.
Really? That was that easy, huh?
That was that easy, Michael.
I like it. Well, I hope they. I hope the Missouri trip is a trip to improve your bowl game, not fight to get into one. Because Missouri could be playing for the East title at that point. So we'll see. Michael, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
No problem. You guys take it easy.
All right, you too. Michael Felder, BleacherReport.com. Likes the Hogs. That's good. I like that.
Yeah. Hey, that's it. That's all I needed. Putting the house on me and Joe from North Little Rock. Before we go to break.
Yeah.